Mini episode 417 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your dignitaries, and it is always a special treat when we get to spend some time on air here with Kyle Ross when it's not football season. And not that that's the only time we get a chance to talk to you, Kyle, but that is when we do it the most often. So it's very nice in the off season here to be able to get to some other things here, some potpourri ideas that were on your head, I understand it today. You more or less produced this whole thing here, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you got in mind.
I just like to hear myself talk, quite frankly, 12 months a year.
Yeah.
So I called you up. I said, hey, Ricky, we need to record more. I need to hear my good opinions more.
Yeah. Well, and I understand, and this is one of these clippings.
Did I really just say that?
Yeah.
That was terrible. I sound like a huge tool.
Well, I'm going to take
even
that
worse
a step,
than normal.
I'm going to take that a step further. A real clip and save moment here for all the listeners of the FDH Lounge. Kyle Ross going to have a project coming soon, and I will be happy to return the favor with you and be able to participate on some things with you. I guess the listeners should stay tuned for further details about that.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get into the technological age. You know?
Yeah.
I got a microphone sitting at home. Who knows where that's going to go? It might just be sitting there 6 months from now collecting dust. But I have a microphone. Who knows?
Like I said,
I like to hear myself talk.
But like,
the show in my head always winds up better than the show that everyone else gets to listen to.
The thing of it is, though, is that like I know, and I see traces of this on social media. For anybody that has followed you, I mean, going all the way back to your SNS days in the middle of last decade, there are people out there, and I don't necessarily fault them, who would listen to you sitting in a closet recording your thoughts on different subjects because they find Kyle Ross so damn entertaining.
God bless them. I suppose. God bless him. God bless him. Thank you for the kind words.
Yes.
You were beaming as we started this podcast,
yes,
by the way. You had like this grin on your face. I was like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, no, I'm just, it's great to be able to do this and blow it out with you. You said you wanted to hit some potpourri stuff.
Yeah,
I'm always glad to get the mics going for
that. You know, I came out, to be honest with you, I think this is the beauty of your of the FDH Lounge. Mm-hmm. I came over for another reason. I said, what the hell? Let's turn the mics on and talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some stuff. Let's see where this goes.
That's the essence of this show is conversation.
This is a free-flowing discussion.
Yeah, very free-flowing.
where we could touch on mature subjects.
Yeah.
Does somebody have, you know, that's a great idea. Does somebody else do that?
Yeah.
We should use that as a tagline. It sounds really effective.
Yeah.
Oh, or is that trademarked?
Well, I got advice from my brother a couple of years ago that I should pursue something against NPR's All Things Considered because they're not the true All Things Considered. We are. Like, that might be a specious legal claim, but it would be very fun to pursue.
Good Lord.
We really are, Kyle, when you think about it. Does National Public Radio verge between the NFL draft, Donald Sterling, WrestleMania, any of the things that we might be likely to hit today?
No, but I'm sure in their world that they hit on a variety of subjects, too. I'm not going to begrudge anyone. I've really become a real wuss in my old age. I don't begrudge anyone anymore.
Okay.
Except people that begrudge ESPN.
Well,
those are the only people I begrudge. I'll always stick up for the worldwide leader.
Yes. Well, we see that
so
on
one day
Facebook.
They get, so one day they Google me and they're like, oh, look at this guy. Said all those nice things about us even when he wasn't employed. I'll sell out to anybody.
We see that
I'm getting hitched now. I mean, are you kidding me?
Exactly. By the way, that was congratulations. That was announced on Facebook a while ago.
Yes.
I did see that announcement there.
Yes.
I
left
media.
My balls at home for this podcast. I hate when people say things like that.
In this day and age, it's not official until it's announced on Facebook,
yes.
Right?
Although it was funny, my buddy of mine posted something about, I don't know, one of the papers in Ohio, maybe it was the Dayton paper, had something about medical marijuana, the debate, and I guess the con argument. There was nothing on the page. Like, we couldn't find anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, to make a long story short, they had this picture,
mm-hmm.
you know, the thumbnail picture to click to the article, and the chick was smoking. She was quite smoking, quite frankly. And so I write on there, this is right after we announced, this was actually the night that we announced the engagement. The shows where my head's at. I'm like, all right, this is done. Now I'm going to go back to wasting time. And my buddy posts this thing. I was like, man, that stoner chick, I'm like, that stoner's really hot. And He's like, hey, you're engaged now, you know. You can't say something like,
are
you know.
Are you getting that from people?
No,
really?
No, no. Okay. Well, no, he was being facetious. Oh, okay, good, and he said something that's like, you know, I forgot what he said. I should look it up. But he made some comment to like, you know, your balls are owned or something like that now. And I was like, no, I was talking about the guy on the right. I thought that was humorous. No one else. People are like, where are they going with that?
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of a hack take about people that are engaged or married or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's true in a lot of instances.
I told my woman to stay home on Saturday night. Yeah. She kind of did. But
that's kind of a hack take. Yeah. But people love to drop that on you. But, yeah, you've had that going on here. But, again, you've also been intrigued by things in the news. Found time to troll FDH senior editor Jason Jones on Facebook extensively about ESPN when Jason goes to complain about them.
I think it's funny because I have not seen Jason in the flesh.
He moved in late 07.
Yeah. So I had not seen him since earlier in that year. So it's been 7 years probably since I've seen Jason in the flesh. And I'm not sure the last time we actually had a conversation on the airways. It may have been around the same time, to be honest with you. I don't know if we have. I forget a lot of things. You would know this. I'm kind of it sounded like a statement, but it was more of a question.
I don't think
we've ever done anything together with you, Jason and I.
I've been talking about it for the longest time because I like to pair up, you know, interesting things here, but I don't think we've gotten around to it. I paired him up with Nate Noy to debate Jeremy Lin at the time when that was running really hot, and that was really incredible. Well, part of it
I've heard that. I remember.
Yeah, because Jason is like your ultimate scout guy. What I see with my eyes, breakdown of it, this is what I see. And then Nate was just doing nothing but spewing stats because Nate is legitimately the most brilliant guy I know. And, again, was you know, just coming at it from all of that, and he was just completely dismissing all of Jason's stuff and predicting he would be nothing more than a journeyman. And Nate, I was kind of on Jason's side, but Nate's probably had somewhat the better of it in terms of the argument where that ended up.
It's funny, and this makes for boring radio and boring podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I have just taken Jeremy Lin's a perfect example of this.
Mm-hmm.
I have taken the stance that both sides of an argument are usually wrong in a situation like that. Jeremy Lin is probably a starter in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He starts for Houston, who's a good team.
Yeah,
but he's not ever going to be the best player on the team. He's a horrible defender.
I remember Nate comparing him to J.J. Barea at the time, and that's where Jason and I were like, whoa,
that's
a little harsh.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah.
That's better than J.J. Barea.
Right. But having said that, the whole thing of,
but
six
he's not
turnovers
Mark Price.
Per game. No, he's not Mark Price, but the turnovers that were really marking that first breakthrough period of his, Jason and I predicted those were going to calm down substantially, and they did. I mean, he's still one of the worst players in the league with turnovers, but not like historically worst.
Sure, and he's really bad. Well, those were some bad Knicks teams, but anyway.
Yeah.
But I think my point in all this was I like to troll Jason Jones. That's where, to bring this thing full circle, one of my favorite people to troll, yes.
And he responds to it. He definitely does, because,
again, really great. But that's what's interesting. I haven't had a real conversation with him in 7 years. there's no one I enjoy trolling more than this guy I worked with 7 years ago.
Yeah. I mean,
I thank you for continuing to bridge the gap between Jason and I. I look forward. I would love.
We got to do a debate segment with Jason, you and him.
Well, you know, I think the NFL draft would be good.
Okay.
And I'm going to share. I think that's where we should start today.
All right.
I want to talk about the NFL draft because Lord knows everyone else loves to talk about the NFL draft. So I might share some thoughts. Now, it's my understanding that you've shared your thoughts previously. I was not akin to that. Where do we want to start with the NFL draft? Because we've obviously already broken down all of the divisions.
I mean, it's one of these things of where, and not everything has to go into box A or box B, but Jason and I did a pretty substantial kind of a breakdown on it. I wouldn't mind going in a more entertaining direction with you. We could do substance if you want, whatever you want to do, really.
It's funny with the NFL draft. We were talking about this off air. Before this year, I thought it was one of the more overrated events on the sports calendar.
This year changed your mind?
I don't know why. I think I've just gotten it. I know you'll laugh at this and you'll say, oh, of course you do, given who you support. I've just gotten more and more into the NFL, I think. And I find myself, you know, it's funny that you see this a lot with baseball guy or hockey guy. Oh, wait, I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
But
I'm all of those things.
That, you know, the NFL, it's just, why does that keep dominating the conversation? It's April, the season's 6 months away. Why are we talking about that?
Right.
To me, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I'm in the gambling world and the NFL is king. But I find myself, even during this offseason, constantly looking for information. I followed free agency harder this year.
Okay.
Maybe it's because we do the weekly show and I just want more ammunition to sound smart. I don't know what it is. But anyway, the reason I always thought it was overrated is you just don't know. You're spending all this time debating about something, about this pick, and you don't know.
Right.
Until, to be honest with you, the whole concept of grading a draft after the fact, I've always thought is silly, because all you're doing is basically
comparing.
Are you going to
give it takes 3 years? Are you going to give that take?
About three, but I think it takes some time. I'd like to see the person. I mean, because when people grade a draft right after the fact, here's what they're basically saying. Did they agree with me?
Not necessarily. Here's the thing.
I think mock drafts and a Jason, I wish he was here because his head would explode. I don't think I like mock drafts are useful, but I don't like doing them personally.
Okay.
Because
Jason did a 3-round mock draft one for our guy, Pro Football Draftology 2014. I did a 1-round one.
Because what happens is, it's like anything else, is you start to believe, you know, if a team doesn't do what you think, oh, they're stupid. To me, I look at it like, okay, here's the different options they could go. Because there's some different things we can get in with the teams. Like the Cleveland are, you know, your Cleveland Browns, for instance. Here's the thing. Here's the way I look at it. I don't want to mock a player to them. Here's their realistic situation. Maybe you guys disagree, but what I've heard, there are 4 players that are rated considerably higher than the rest of the lot in this draft.
Okay.
Clowney.
Yeah.
Mack.
Yeah.
Watkins.
Yeah.
And Greg Robinson out of Auburn.
I think Jake Matthews is right there with him.
Okay. Well,
I said on the show with Jason, to me, the biggest mano-a-mano debate at any position, kind of fitting because it would be a sumo kind of a battle, is those two guys for the top left tackle. I don't think there's a single other positional battle that's as intriguing.
All right, let's just, for argument's sake here, say that Robinson is, like, because I've just read
that. Let's say that.
So that people consider those to be the 4 top prospects.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Browns are picking 4, right?
Yeah.
So instead of just wasting on this is who the Browns should pick, because I've never seen a year at the top where it's the teams are more of a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, St. Louis, to me, what they do at 2 is going to determine, like, the next 8 picks.
Or if they trade out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They could trade. Here's what I know about the Cleveland Browns first. This is why I don't like my – of those 4 guys, the only guy I'm 100% sure – and he shouldn't say 100, but almost 100% sure that won't be there is Clowney. Because if Clowney by some way fell to number 3, David Caldwell would trample Roger Goodell to draft him for Jackson.
Right.
So he's gone. So that leaves 3 guys that they can choose from, or a quarterback. Any of those, I mean, so 2 of the 3 prospects will be off the board, likely.
Right.
So it's going to be whichever one of those 4 prospects is left versus a quarterback. That's the debate.
Right. And as far as it goes with Mac, though, and I've said this previously, my problem with that is you got Sheard on the one side. On the other side, you have both Kruger, who disappointed last year, and Mingo, your first-round pick of a year ago. How many outside linebackers are they going to collect while they still have big needs elsewhere?
Yeah,
I think it would be stupid.
Here's what's interesting.
Now, Jason thinks you could be Von Miller, which would make me change my mind.
Well, here's what's interesting with a bad team like the Browns, and maybe they're on the short list of teams like this, but the problem that most NFL fan bases have, I think, the way they look at their team, I moved my foot down. That was rude. Foot on the table. I had my foot on your kitchen table for the last 10 minutes. That was very rude. I apologize.
Dude, I own Lysol. It's no big deal.
Okay, I gotcha. I actually showered right before I came, by the way. Anyway. Is most NFL fan bases always think, what do they always think? Oh, we're just a quarterback away.
Right.
The Browns have a lot of holes.
Right.
So it's so interesting to me with the draft, the whole best player available versus specific need argument.
Right.
And if Mac was available at 4, I can tell you he's the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not fit a specific need.
Right.
I also don't think he will be on the board at
Probably
4.
Probably not.
I think that the rumors are that St. Louis really likes him, even though he wouldn't fit a specific need for them.
No, not really.
And if he fell to 3, Jacksonville would take him. So I don't think he'll be on the board either. So I think you're looking at Sammy Watkins, which would fill a need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Josh Gordon is fantastic. The bottom line is, you know, I've got no one else. Jordan Cameron's great at tight end, but you need another. Here's a perfect example of what I was going with the polls. The Browns, I'm always like, the Browns don't have enough good players. That's why they're never good. People say, oh, we got Joe Hayden. Well, yeah, but not a bum starting opposite him that you just say, throw it at him every time. People will say, oh, we've got Joe Thomas. Well, he's 1/5 of a starting unit, and all I read on this Facebook is Mitchell Schwartz stinks. So every unit can really only be as strong as its weakest player.
But they have only about 6 or 7 real glaring type holes. The rest of them are either filled with adequate players or, as you pointed out, some of the impact players.
True.
Focus on the 6 or 7.
Key,
that's what I'm saying.
The key is.
You align the needs
is,
with what's there.
And this is a baseball term. You're a baseball guy, so you like war. What is it good for?
Yeah.
You know, you need at least just that average talent. It's when the difference between a team like the Browns and a team like the Seahawks is Browns have guys starting that no one else would want.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks, you know, they're players that are maybe like their second best player at each position. Other teams are willing to pay to have them be the best on their team. That's the case. It's the replacement level talent that you have to get. And the Browns, you know, you could argue, I know they addressed the second receiver spot a little bit through free agency.
Right.
They may not go there. I don't know. Who's your pick for the Browns?
My pick, if he's there, I guess, would be Sammy Watkins. By the way, with what you said about war, and I'll come back to the Browns here in a second, that phrase about war, what is it good for? The only phrase that I've ever heard from both supporters of George McGovern and supporters of Miguel Cabrera in the whole MVP race against Mike Trout. Yeah,
yes.
They both we're going with the same thing there. In the case of the Browns, you know,
that
I'd
was
also
very good.
Thank you. I'd also be okay with Blake Bortles. I think it'd be a reach for any of the other quarterbacks. I don't like Manziel. He's too scary to me because, again, any guy with question marks that comes to the Browns, it will always be worst-case scenario. In a sliding doors universe, had Chip Kelly come to the Browns a year ago, he'd have been 4-12 and probably fired by now. You cannot, if you're the Browns and you have the history of quicksand, take a risk on guys like that. A guy who I like but who would be now ludicrous to take at 4, I've posed this question to a lot of my fellow Browns fan friends of mine. This whole notion of when did we get to be too good for Teddy Bridgewater? I remember the days of September and October when we despaired of being able to get him because we won 3 games early in the season. And now he's going to be there at 4 and maybe at 26, and it's like, oh, I don't know, man. He had a bad pro day. He threw a couple of ducks on pro day. This is silly season, and this is the problem with the NFL draft, Kyle, is this overanalysis crap, and what you did on the field is less important than what you do in a ballroom.
Signal in the noise. Mm-hmm. I talked about it off air. The NFL draft is the best example mm-hmm. in sports. It's like, because we talk about it for so long, as soon as the Super Bowl ends, mm-hmm. NFL fans immediately go draft. This mm-hmm. year there's 2 extra weeks, which seems too long.
Yeah.
By the way, the reason is that there was some event already booked at Radio City Music Hall yeah. for when they wanted to do it. And that event got canceled, that's my understanding. The dictator Roger Goodell rarely gets one-upped like that.
You know what, though? But from what I've read, this is an act of hegemony by the NFL to go into May and to take over. Because now, like the fallout from that mini camp going into June, that you won't yeah. have a dead period anymore. Which, again, my grievance in the last couple of years has been that the NFL has been too much of a 12-month thing. Well, how can we miss you if you won't go away? This is Goodell's plan.
The thing is,
allegedly.
I don't think people want the NFL to go away. And by God, how do we want Ed Werder to go away?
I want it to go away. I mean, football is probably my favorite sport out of them, but I can't enjoy it as much if it never leaves. You want to look forward to opening day. You want to look forward to the season instead of,
I think people want to be informed,
football
though.
Today. If you never get away from it, though, that's my philosophy.
I would agree with it. I would agree with it more if people complained about football coverage more, but all they want is more football.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, I don't expect other people to follow in my footsteps on this, but I've been able to replicate the process in the off season here by getting a season ticket package online for the Australian Football League here, following my Western Bulldogs week after week. I look forward to that as I do Browns games. I watch the game on a tape delay every week after it's done, and it's the same experience.
I think most sports are trying to become 12-month-a-year entities.
Yeah.
I you know, the old, remember the WWE, there is no off-season, the WWE, remember those horrible commercials?
Yes.
I think sports are trying to do that, where there's really, it's in their best interest for people not to mentally check out.
Right. You
it
don't
is.
Want that.
And that's where ESPN comes in handy.
Well, yeah, ESPN and the NFL, they have a lot in common as far as their whole theory of world domination and how they want to pursue it. And I guess that's the problem on the consumer level that myself and a lot of other people have with both institutions separately than how you view them.
I don't think that many people have a problem with
it. Have you been on Facebook recently?
Yeah, let me tell you something. If you want a very narrow-minded view of the world, then by all means, live your life through Facebook comments. That is, like, yes, there is, I am not denying that there is a segment of the population who gets burnt, who not only gets burnout by ESPN and the NFL, mm-hmm. but is right for doing so.
Yeah.
But it's a minority opinion, and it's...
I'm not saying it's a majority opinion, but it's... By the way, just in mentioning Facebook, they're proving once again, nobody hits the no-look passes on the break like I do. Anytime I get a chance to get you wound up about Facebook GMs or Facebook program directors,
I mean, that's that's a perfect day.
Yeah.
We're venturing off the draft. We'll get back to the draft in a second. You know, Jason, for instance, here's a perfect example. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Maybe you'll call in.
Unlikely, but yes, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Stay tuned, folks. Jason Jones may call in.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he doesn't.
So this Jack, he got all up in arms about Jack Ramsey. When we're in the lineup, he was discussed about SportsCenter.
He's one of their own guys, Kyle. How do you disrespect one of your
he
own
He was
like
not
that?
Disrespected. The fact that he was talked about 20 minutes later than you would have done it is the most inconsequential thing I've ever heard somebody bandy about in my entire existence on this earth.
That should go after all of the inane chatter that they
yes.
were doing about Donald Sterling? Okay.
Yes. I'm not saying that I morally agree with that. I'm saying that if I am a producer of SportsCenter in 2014, that would not even be debated. If somebody came to me and said, oh, we need to lead with Jack Ramsey, I'm what?
Not saying lead with him, but Jason said it was 37 minutes in.
First of all, my problem is when people try to paint ESPN with one broad stroke. You know what ESPN is? You'll love this.
What?
Too big to fail at this point. ESPN, it's achieved a level.
They're an epitome of crony capitalism, so I see your point.
Yes, in that it's just so big and so... ESPN, it's not like... It's funny, when you say ESPN, you can mean so many things. They have so many different platforms now. They have a website, which is huge. They have things like Grantland that they own.
Yeah.
You know, that's... I mean, it's so deep now. It's not... When you say ESPN, it's not like... I think SportsCenter is the worst part of ESPN, but SportsCenter is not made for sports fans like you, me, or Jason.
Don't sleep on their debate shows either.
It is a debate show, but all they do is bring it on. First of all, those debate shows work for a reason. I mean,
debate.
I mean, some of them are obviously more horrible than others. I mean, numbers never lie. It was originally not conceived as a debate show, and they just they're like, screw it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just rather have people debating the same issues. But the point is, ESPN is not made for someone to watch. The way it's construed,
mm-hmm.
I've always said this, and this is the biggest defense of you. If anyone should hate ESPN, it should be me, because I leave it on during the day, most of the day. And eventually I'll be like, yeah, I'm sick of this. I don't get mad about it. I'm like, you know, I've probably been watching TV too.
You are, from your defense of ESPN, it is curious for anyone who knows you well, you are most definitely a selective believer in free market economics. No question about it.
You know what I am? I am a huge Republican when it comes to my sports fandom.
You kind of are, yeah.
Like, I am, and you're a huge liberal.
I don't know that it makes me
yes,
liberal.
You are. Oh, we, you know, the NHL would be so much more popular if we gave them a chance. No, it wouldn't.
I believe in equal opportunity in society.
Oh, here we go.
A hand up, not a hand down.
Here, let me go a little Reagan on the NHL, okay? Too many communists, too many consonants, baby.
A hand up, not a handout. That's yeah. How I believe.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Oh.
But no, I mean, that's my, here's the thing. Do you know what I compare ESPN a lot
what?
To? And this will be great because I'm on. What a great free-flowing discussion we've had here.
Our ESPN and official and NFL draft stuff is officially totally commingled now.
Yes, yes. Eventually, I will say things about the NFL draft.
Okay.
But do you know what I compare ESPN to a lot?
What?
You'll hate this. WWE, the other big company in Connecticut.
Okay.
I think it's pertinent that I make this.
I'm intrigued by your theory and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
As I break your lamp. Don't mind me. I'm just going to put my foot on your table and just put my elbow through your lamp today. I was on a show once upon a time as I regained my thoughts there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, delay. That I was heavily critical of the WWE and the way they did things in much the same way that maybe Jason's critical of ESPN.
Okay.
But I think the difference is, although you may not like it,
mm-hmm.
what ESPN's doing is working. They are, I've said this, they're. I would have a bigger problem with it if they weren't umpteen times more successful right now with their format than they were 20 years ago.
Let me poke a hole in your analogy. When you were on said show, talking pro wrestling, end of 05 to beginning of 07, they were not successful.
I know.
You were poking fun at them during a period of time in which they were pretty bad. Especially
exactly.
relative to today.
Exactly. But that's my point.
But you were right to do so.
Yes.
And so people are right to criticize ESPN, I say.
But I don't. But I think what they're doing is working. You just don't like it. Like, it's one thing. Like,
it's making them money. You're right.
And which is their bottom line. ESPN, here's, to me, Jason, who's a really sharp guy. I know Jason, and I know you even better, and you're a really sharp guy. The joke's on you guys, not the rest of us. Who like to me, there's this thing, oh, the just brainless people just listening to whatever ESPN tells them. It's a chicken and the egg argument. People are actually maybe a little smarter than you think. I think the way they want to consume sports is just not the way you want to. That ESPN, first of all, does, and I know you don't like it, which shocks me because you're a big wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think I love hype. Like, for instance, today, when they showed that Donald Sterling thing, the Adam Silver thing.
Right.
I could not stop laughing and was having the time of my life. That would be
mm-hmm.
quite a stretch. But I was enjoying myself when they kept it, because it was so ridiculous. They kept showing the closed door that Adam Silver was going to walk through. They're like, we're still waiting. I was at the gym, so mm-hmm. I'm just watching this silent TV. And they keep focusing on this door. They're like, any minute now. And I wanted to yell out, but people would have thought I was crazy. I had to be ejected from the gym. No one does sports better than ESPN. I kept waiting for the Stone Cold Steve Austin glass to shatter. David Stern to walk through. And you're, by God, he's still here. By God, the sheriff is back in town.
I guess the difference is I only like pro wrestling in my pro wrestling.
I don't like it pervading every corner of my life.
Kyle.
And do you know who's the worst at doing pro wrestling? Pro wrestling. ESPN, that was my original point. ESPN is now better at doing pro wrestling than WWE is at hype. UFC got popular because they borrowed the old 80s model and got better at it.
The one at least partial quibble I would have where you said the joke's on me and Jason both know. We acknowledge they're making buckets and buckets and buckets of money doing what they're doing. That's not lost on us.
Here's the thing. It's an inarguable point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
factual. If they
want
to go lowest common denominator, if they want to pander to the knuckle draggers, they're making a lot of money in doing that. And again,
I don't think that's what it is, though.
But I do. And I think it's things like running a protection racket on the NHL. Oh, you don't want to be on our channel? Gee, sure would be a shame if anything happened to your league. Put like Stanley Cup highlights 50 minutes into an episode of SportsCenter.
But you're again, saying I think that's it's because chicken and the egg.
The conditioning, the people, the sheeple who watch their show think things are only as important as ESPN makes them to be. I'll believe that going to my grave.
There's some truth to that, but again, chicken and the egg.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the NHL, what their job is to do, and see, it's just, it is like pro wrestling. Their job is to interpret what their audience wants, ESPN. And if their audience wants something, give them more of that. Their audience doesn't want something, give them less of that.
I guess I'm old school, having gone to, you know,
SportsCenter should never, ever, ever be, say it's our, and again, I know there's commercials, but just for argument's sake, it should never be 15 minutes NFL, 15 minutes MLB, 15 minutes NBA, 15 minutes NHL. No way, no how.
Well,
it should never be that.
As a graduate of the fine script school at the Harvard on the Hocking here, an esteemed journalistic institution, I look at it like, what are the most important stories journalistically of the day?
That's journalism, though. SportsCenter, here, this is why the joke's on you. ESPN is no longer in the business of getting it right. That's why people are like, oh, this guy said this. ESPN, and I know you, like, it's become the scourge of the internet, the whole embrace debate mindset.
Yeah.
Their job is to promote and, oh, I had this other word, bless it. They are a promoting vehicle.
Well, if they admitted that they were just nothing more than sports entertainment gaga like the WWE.
I think they are. They don't pretend to be anything else.
They don't disavow doing journalism.
Well,
they don't
no,
say
nor should
journalism,
they.
That's not us. Well,
nor,
they,
nor
they,
should they.
If they were honest,
they have
would.
Some, but it's not the driving force.
I mean, there's, you know, whenever Bob Lee's show is on, you can get some journalism.
Sure.
And you get some
and
journalism
that's fine.
Here and there. But it's the exception to the rule. It's the culture of Bayless that runs that place.
Yes,
it really
because
is.
It works. Because here's what happened. People all, that the idea that ESPN just woke up one day and are like, you know what, we're just going to spring all these debate shows on people.
It was a slow slide to the lowest common denominator, basically.
Look, some of the shows do go lowest common denominator, but it's just because it gets repetitive. And
which of the debate shows aren't lowest common denominator? Which of them aren't?
It started out with the success of BTI, which is now you have two guys kind of phoning it in. At the time, though, I loved it. I remember when that came out. I couldn't wait when I saw. I was like, this looks really interesting.
Mm.
You know, because what are we doing? We're just debating. People like debate shows.
Yeah.
People would rather just
Except we're not contrived. We're not sitting here with focus group documents of, like, say this because this will get housewives in middle America to buy soap.
You're right.
You and I are real people.
The problem
Kyle.
Is that it doesn't. Originally, I don't think the show was that contrived.
No.
It clearly kind of is now when they're like, okay, you know, they play these game shows. And like,
right.
And it becomes obvious because every other debate show has the same 10 topics they run down. But again, what works for ESPN, and it works really in any walk of life, is you have to take, it's about stars, really. And people would much rather hear about Johnny Manziel for a 10th time than a breakdown of Brewers Padres.
So the sheeple demand their simple narratives, is what you're saying.
I don't think it's necessarily that simple. I think, first of all, it's a 24-hour news cycle. First of all, they ESPN also heavily influenced by Fox News.
Interesting. In what way?
Oh, it's all over. Like, the way, like, I remember when I first, and look, it's no secret how I feel Fox News. I mean, it is just some of the most atrocious opinions you will ever hear on anything in the history of speaking.
I assume you're talking about the small block of opinion shows that are on in the evening, as opposed to the straight news shows through the day.
Generally, that's what you would, well, see, See, what I'm doing is what you're guilty of doing. Is you're associating the loudest and proudest with the network. But here's my point. This is where I'm going to do a wild U-turn and catch you off guard.
Okay.
It is very, as much as I detest Fox and hate Bill O'Reilly, I hate Sean Hannity, hate Carl, you know, Carl Rove.
You should love Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity probably makes more people liberals than anybody else I've
seen on
TV.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It is very easy for me to understand why Fox News is as successful as it is. It's a very well-run cable news station. I am, like, when I see the ratings, how much it kicks CNN's and MSNBC's ass, not surprising at all. They do a much better job of hammering a message out to the people who are likely to watch them.
They know where the heartland is, Kyle Ross.
Yes. So, but you, I don't begrudge
them. I was actually trolling you there.
Yeah. I don't begrudge them for that, what they do. I mean, I will never watch it, but I don't begrudge them for what they do. And ESPN, like, I remember, I can't remember what show it was on Fox, but when I first saw it, I was like, really? You're doing it? When they, on the bottom, it'll scroll, they'll quote the talk show host that just said something, like, O'Reilly, Obama stinks. But now,
I'm pretty sure you're paraphrasing.
Yes, but they do that on, like, First Take.
Right.
You know, Skip, Nick's in trouble. Yeah. You know, they did, like, the producers of ESPN clearly watched Fox and stole a lot of elements. And it's a model that works. The issue is the 24-hour news cycle. It doesn't, like, people just want quick, now, what's happening, boom, bam, this, that. That's what they want. They don't really want, I mean, there is a place, certainly, for investigative journalism. But look at the news networks. If you follow this, where do they cut the money? In investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper and gets better ratings when you just have some yahoo, whether it's sports or politics, just, this is what I think, and just giving takes.
So the ultimate crossover between Fox News and ESPN would then be if Skip Bayless was ever doing a segment on Benghazi. Is that what you're telling me, Kyle?
Yes. I mean, really, it's... Skip Bayless is Bill O'Reilly.
They
just talk about different things.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to see why both are successful.
Well, Skip Bayless is not looking out for the folks.
Stop it.
I just...
Stop it.
You say Jason's pretty fun to troll.
Yes,
you're
I'm pretty good,
yourself.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm not bad. But that's my point. My whole point is, like, anti-ESPN guy. Thinks he's so smart and so cool. He's like, oh, ESPN talks so much about the Yankees. And you see the stuff on Deadspin. When they, like, I think the biggest waste of time that Deadspin does is when they show those Bristol metric things. I think if you handed that to, like, a sports center, see, we told you talk about the Yankees so much. Be like, yeah, we do. So what?
So you would then agree with me that it's a waste of time, similarly, for Media Matters to spend all their time watching Fox News. Is that correct?
Yes, actually, I do.
Oh, okay.
Like, if, like, although I will, here's one distinction I will draw between the two. The issues at hand that Fox News deals with are more important than Yankees socks. Okay.
Yeah. Although you'll never get anybody on ESPN to admit that.
No, come on. I think ESPN realizes that Yankees socks is more important than what's going on in the U. Or isn't as important what's going on in the Ukraine.
Sunday night baseball coverage.
it's a little. It gets a little much. No, but here's the thing. I think that when in the news you frame certain issues as important, like for instance the stupid birther thing with Obama, spending all this time on that. And no time on Wall Street and the shenanigans that brought this country down over there. That's more damning than when you talk about Yankees, Red Sox more than Brewers, Padres. Okay, you're just talking about it's just a baseball game. That's why, like, I don't get mad about ESPN that much because they're talking about sports at the end of the day.
But that's the thing, though. I mean, if sports are supposed to be a quality escape for people in this country, then for ESPN to then be degrading the quality of sports coverage and everything like that with the lowest common denominator stuff.
I don't.
Well, again, you know, conditioning the sheeple to not think that hockey is important, or we should we shouldn't want
Brewers. Don't think that hockey is important.
Yeah.
I really like
chicken and the egg, but I really think again,
NBC. NBC is a big network, right?
Yeah.
It's usually the first network on most people's dials, right?
I think so.
The Stanley Cup Finals won't outrate tonight's Warriors-Clippers game.
Kind of a sad commentary on
America. I mean, you may not like it, and maybe, look, I don't hate hockey by any means. If it was on, I'd watch it. If it's, you know, a good, there's nothing I like more. I actually just said this to somebody the other night. Nothing is better than Game 7 overtime.
Oh, yeah.
In the playoffs, when it's just next goal, you move on, or you go home. That is great, but
it's kind of a selective take. It doesn't happen that often.
Exactly.
You know.
But my thing is the NHL doesn't have enough of those moments. That's the problem. People like the highs of sports. And ESPN gives them the highs of sports.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Do you know who made the best point about
it's
the,
not for everybody.
Let's go back to the NFL.
Yeah.
You know who made the best? This is why the NFL is as big as it is. Chad Repak.
The Bob Sacramento of our show.
Made what I believe is the greatest comment about the NFL and also the most telling as to its popularity. We were sitting there. This was maybe 10 years ago. We were sitting on a Sunday watching all the games. He looks at me and goes, when are all these games going to be over so we can just sit and talk about, debate what happened? That lies the strength of the NFL. Because the problem is people like to talk about the games, but they don't really like to watch the games and break them down. That's why the NFL is more popular, because it's less game, more yapping. Whereas in the NBA, is much like, it's my job to follow. Like, it's, you know, I watch a lot of NBA, but even I, you know.
It's usually background for me. I'm doing something else.
Well, no, it's like, it's tough to, you know, right now you're in the midst of the playoffs, 40 games and 40 nights or whatever. I mean, it's tough to get up, and by get up I mean be excited, for three games every night and be able to break them down. Whereas the NFL, you had one game per team. It's easier to discuss. That's one part of the reason why I've joined the sheep, as you call them. It's just so disparaging, so rude to the folks.
I don't think your average person checking us out is exactly who I'm talking about.
No,
they're
not.
Of discerning,
but we're a small
taste.
Minority.
I cater to snobs.
Yeah, we're a small minority. Is when it comes to sports fandom. Like I said, SportsCenter's not for us.
No, it's definitely more for you than it is for me. But yeah,
I don't think it's for me. I'm just more tolerant of it. Like, I'm not surprised by what they do. You know, some people, there are these people, and a lot of it has to do with because they're from Cleveland, and it was such a hard hit to the city. Some people, oh, you know, this ESPN, I can't believe they got in bed with the decision. That's just disgusting. They'd be stupid if they didn't get in bed with something like that.
That's one of those things. Again, on a business level, they profited from it incredibly. But it's just a thing of...
And it's very newsworthy. People
care. Don't look me in the eye and tell me that you're still journalism if you're going to do something.
But
like
it is
that.
A news story. Like, well, like...
It's a complete sellout as far as conflict of interest. There were no hard questions that were asked. There was nothing that was put to
them. That part, you're right. You're right.
As far as,
but
your job under the circumstances journalistically, at the very least, is to talk about everything that went on in Cleveland and to say, you know, you coerced these moves from this organization, holding it over their head for 7 years, and
okay.
You left anyway.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad that you would have loved.
Say that.
I'm glad you would have loved the very Cleveland-centric perspective there for you.
It's a truth-centric perspective. I mean, it legitimately is what happened, and nobody on the national level ever raises that. And that's
he was crushed after it.
You can't tell the whole
story.
I
mean, he may not have been crushed in that 30 minutes, but he was certainly crushed immediately after.
Well, through no help, it was in spite of what they did. They were trying to put him over, and it just backfired spectacularly. It was through no fault of theirs.
I think people just cared about it was called the decision. People just wanted to see the decision presented in a way. It's all about presentation.
It is, but again, that is the biggest, I mean, I'm glad you raised that, because if I could identify a single defining anti-journalism moment in the last 25 years of ESPN, that would probably be it. The decision epitomizes everything I'm talking about here. The whole thing of showbiz over the purity of what you learned in J school, which is what I'm all about, Al Ross, quite frankly.
I just don't think that matters anymore, the purity.
Well, it doesn't.
And the thing, too, and here's the other thing, too, to wrap this up. It's so deep. Like, I love the website a lot. I use it. I go to it a lot. I have an insight. You can get phenomenal coverage of with stuff, using stuff with analytics, game by game, scouting through ESPN and on their sub sites with like Grantland. You know, ESPN even, here's the thing with Too Big to Fail. You know, people always, you know, it's all showbiz. Well, they have Football Outsiders does as good a job as anyone walking the face of the earth, even though a website can't really walk, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
At breaking the NFL down. Would you agree? I mean, that's something I think we'd agree on.
Yeah.
I think they're fantastic.
Yeah.
They're a satellite site of ESPN now. ESPN just says, okay, well, we'll just go out and we'll get you.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. So Football Outsiders is kind of, they bring that, the outlets are there. Like, I could understand wasting time bitching about SportsCenter if that's all we have. But and I made the point to Jason with Jack Ramsey passing. If you need SportsCenter, like somehow SportsCenter having him in the opening 15 minutes of their show to legitimize his legacy, what? It's kind of disrespectful to Jack Ramsey.
What, by acknowledging how important he was to the world of basketball in an accurate sense?
They did. They just didn't. It was no.
Placement matters, Kyle. Placement matters.
I don't think it does. Is it going to, I mean, not to be insensitive, is it going to bring him back to life?
Probably not.
Okay.
But
Did, like... Does watching something like that 20 minutes later diminish what he did? diminish him as a person?
I think if it tells you he's much less important than all of the Donald Sterling chatter.
It's about the news cycle.
But
it's
not timely. If the people have to wait 37 minutes into a show to hear about him, then they wonder, well, how important could he be, quite frankly?
I think they did a wonderful job of putting the man over.
If anybody was still around for that point in time, Phil had moved on and said, okay, I guess Donald Sterling's all that happened today.
And people click, don't click. It's the most, again, they talk about the big issue of the day, so everyone can hear about it once. They're like, look, everybody talk about this, because when people don't, again, this goes back to me, I should hate ESPN more than anybody, because I'll actually watch some of these shows consecutively. You know, I will, in a day.
You have a sterner constitution
in
than
a day, I will digest Colin Coward's take on Donald Sterling. I will digest Scott Van Pelt's take on Donald Sterling. Screamin' A. Smith's take on Donald Sterling. I'll hear them all. And I'm like, all right, well, this is this guy's opinion, whatever. And eventually I go up and I do something.
Yeah.
But most people only hear one of those takes, not all three. That's why they have, like, look, we need someone on talking about Donald Sterling right now, because people don't watch us 24 hours. They just come in and they, you know, most people just watch one of those debate shows a day, not all of them. That's what it's for.
So that at any point in time during the day, somebody can flick on their channel and hear an insipid debate. Pre-cooked talking points
on
any major subject.
Yes, that's what they do. Right. I don't think they're always pre-cooked. Right. I think it's unfair to say they're always pre-cooked.
Thank you for agreeing with my premise.
I don't think I think it's unfair to say they're all pre-cooked. I mean, I think there was certainly some authentic takes on the Donald Sterling issue. Again, I think that's a sort of a unique situation.
And we were going to hit a little bit on that as well, too. There was something else that I had heard as far as on the Donald Sterling tapes here that come out. I'd heard a report that one of the things he said was that he would like to, quote, straighten out Sage Steele's hair the fun way, quote. And now that would be, is that a more of a racist or sexist thing if he said that?
I think it's both.
Is it both?
Yes,
okay.
It's all both. Right.
Okay. Just curious. Both. Okay.
Look, here's the thing with
that. That's just a rumor that he said that.
It's funny because this ties into the whole 24, the whole larger picture beyond ESPN of the 24-hour news cycle with Donald Sterling. People get, you know, and even you were kind of, I can't believe we're talking about this. It's so dumb. It's funny. I'm a totality of the situation guy. And had this been Donald Sterling's only transgression, I think that the what wound up being the punishment may not have fit the crime. But
I agree. It's because of who he is.
Yes.
Racist scumbag.
Yes.
Slumlord.
Yes.
That he's done us for 30 years.
This may actually, it's funny. Some people are like, I can't know what he said on that, but why are we making such a big deal about this?
Yeah.
And I will admit that on the scale of horrible things that Donald Sterling has done, this may struggle to crack the top 10, let alone the top 5.
True, but the other top 10 weren't getting acted upon.
Yes, but so some people are like, you know, where was ESPN for this? Shut up for a second.
Right.
There's two different points to be made. One, Donald Sterling just had to go because of who he was. The NBA is better for not having Donald Sterling in it.
Yes,
he
absolutely
had to go. If this sort of sleazy TMZ-induced girlfriend recording had to be the smoking gun, so be it.
Right.
Okay? Now, the other more investigative discussion we should have is, why was Donald Sterling still an owner of an NBA team in 2014?
Because David Stern is a coward and a bully, in my estimation.
I don't know if that's fair.
And just didn't want to take him on. There were pretexts.
Now, he works for Donald Sterling, keep in mind. He works for the owners, the commissioner.
Yeah, well, Adam Silver works for them as well.
Well,
and,
I mean,
he
had
it.
There was so much public. Thing is, it was the public pressure. It's very unique that, I don't know, maybe you tip your cap to TMZ in this situation and the power they have in our society. That, you know, these things were out there about the housing. I mean, to me, what's interesting about Donald Sterling is not only is he a racist and just a complete piece of crap human being.
Yeah.
He's an awful owner, and he's a racist on top of it.
He is.
So, I mean, he just has no redeemable qualities
about
being
in
the NBA.
In all of this, the firing of Elgin Baylor, getting lumped in with a lot of Elgin Baylor was an awful general manager
who
kept his job for way too long. So that getting folded in with these other things
doesn't really
fit.
Now, but that
doesn't
change the fact that he may have been subjected to racism. But again, what do I always say? Both sides of an argument are usually wrong.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's a thing where I agree with you. If this were the only thing that he ever did, then I would – I would have at least a medium-sized problem with this because the first compare and contrast that comes into everybody's head is what happened with Marge Schott and what she
yes,
said.
Yes, that did for me.
In an interview, knowing that it was going to be on TV versus being surreptitiously taped.
Which is illegal in California.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't have a problem with it because a bad guy is getting what's coming to him.
It's about the end, not the
yes,
means in this situation. No one was hurt. As long as anything short of like Donald Sterling being like beaten,
yeah,
like with a tape recorder for us, say racist things. Anything short of that,
yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
if this had to be the smoking gun, get him out.
Yeah, I mean, if it was a completely isolated incident, I think then I'd be banging the drum of, look, the guy was surreptitiously taped in his own home. Again, makes him a jerk, but yeah, it starts to. But again, reflecting poorly on the league, the only thing that surprised me at all about the severity of this was how quickly it came down, because Adam Silver had said over the weekend, we need to look into this, we need to investigate.
That's the public pressure. Well, what do you need to investigate? All you need to do
make sure that the tape wasn't altered in any kind of a way.
Well, apparently they were happy with that. And here's
right.
Here's another thing, though. Here's what kind of kills that argument.
Right.
If that wasn't you,
mm-hmm,
wouldn't you make a public statement? I could
right,
not believe what it said. Donald
yeah,
Sterling apparently
yeah,
was like, oh, that's me. Like, said that was him. They called him on it.
What?
They're like, is that you? And he was like, yeah, that's me.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
all right.
I could be wrong. I heard
was that his lawyer was trying to dissemble. But, well, we're trying to figure out if those are his words as he said
that's
them.
That's a lawyer just yeah, saying that I have to say something. That's a lawyer basically trying to continue to be Donald Sterling's counsel for the next case.
Well, the thing of it is, too, part of Sterling being the gigantic a-hole that he is, and part of the reason, as I say, that I consider David Stern to be a coward and a bully is knowing that Sterling has, shaken that gnarled old fist at him, at anybody that's come near him. Because there has been, under the surface, relative to what we're seeing now, a long-time movement of why don't we get rid of this guy.
But
anybody that thinks he's going quietly is insane. And I may be proven wrong by this in the days to come. Maybe I'll look stupid, but I got to believe there's probably a lawsuit coming from him.
Oh, sure, and he's very litigious.
That. Yes.
That's
the thing.
He doesn't pay his former coaches.
Right.
I mean, he's a horrible human being. Let's just say it. I mean, he's horrible.
He is.
I mean, I'm not say that.
Well,
I was going to make old Yeller jokes.
I'm going to bring up something, too. I mean, I was talking to FDH director of Nate Noy. Our director of research, Nate Noy, off-air today, he made an excellent point about this. And for anybody that's defending him or whatever, the thing that he said is, and I agree with him completely, unless you're another rich white man, he doesn't have respect for you. If you want to go to defend him as a fellow white guy who's just entitled to whatever, understand that Donald Sterling, unless you're a gazillionaire like him, looks at you as being a piece of trash as well. There's no racial solidarity from Donald Sterling as far as he's concerned.
It goes beyond the NBA. I mean,
he doesn't just hate black people. I mean, he does.
Yes.
He really does.
Yes.
But he also hates a lot of white people, too.
Most of us.
It's
the whole we're morphing into an oligarchy
yeah,
type thing. I mean,
yeah,
he is very emblematic of some larger societal problems we
yes,
have in this country.
He loves people of his economic class, and that's it.
Not to defend
Stern. As long as they're white.
Not to defend Stern, but I will.